But today, as Friday evening, we're kind of looking at things today just because the fear factor in America is coming back up again. It's multiplying. And so some of you are here Friday night, you already know the answer. But a question I have for you, and I watch White Christmas. It's one of my favorite movies. You know, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye. Okay. But on there, Danny Kaye has this question. He's going to ask it. He says, "Hey, how do you keep a dog from biting you on Tuesday?" And the answer is, kill the dog on Monday. And you pull his teeth out on Monday. Amen. That's what he says. So think of that for a second. On Tuesday, you're going to pass this dog, and it's going to bite you. You have to go past it. That dog's there. You're there. You can't go around it. You have to go past it. How can I keep that dog from biting me? Well, on Monday, I go and pull his teeth. Then I walk past him on Tuesday. Roar! He's so growling. Okay? But I walk right past it. Why? Because I know it when you got no teeth no more. Not going to scare me a bit. Okay? But Mandel was walking together. Come on, Daryl. We start walking. You had to get up, okay? But we're walking together down the street, and pretty soon he's like, hear this growling noise. And Daryl's getting kind of nervous, which I don't blame you. I'm like, get bit by dogs, he'll get back up here. But I keep walking. Daryl's like, oh, no, man. That dog's, he's growling. He's growling. Come on, Daryl. I'm not going. Well, I am, bubble. That ground dog, Gerald doesn't know his teeth been pulled. So you're fearful. Man, I'm not going down there. I'm not going to get bit, so you stay away. Doesn't bother me because I know the teeth have been removed. And they can't bite me. And that's the way it is today with the Word of God. Okay? Satan's out there. He's growling. He's raising up. You're trying to bring fear into your life. But as a born-again Christian, you have removed the teeth from the devil. Amen? You don't have to have that fear, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to take that fear away from you. That's a great way of controlling people. He wants your eyes to be open. And it's a good thing to be cautious, but he don't want you to be fearful. Because being fear will stop you from doing what he's supposed to do. See, Daryl didn't finish walking the store with me. He's going to buy pizza and pop. Okay? He missed out on that. Because he didn't understand. And here lately, especially this weekend, this COVID-19, you all probably heard the reports how it's multiplying and it's going crazy. And anybody else heard that?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. And again, caution is always good, but I want to explain something here just to help take away some of that fear. We have about 35 people in here, and I'm going to count. Let's see, we got one person wearing glasses, we got two people wearing glasses. Okay, so out of 35 people, I just count this first row here, 35 people, we have two people wearing glasses. That means, man, there's 33 people. Okay, I can count myself too, but I'm not sitting in the front row, okay? So that means there's 33 people that don't need glasses. Man, that's awesome. Eyesight's pretty good. You know, just really good. Wait, let me count. One, two. Let me count the second row now. One, two. Now we got three people. Three people out of 35 people wearing glasses. Oh, man. So that's not too bad. Three. Wait, let me count the next row. Three. Four. Five. We got six people wearing glasses. Oh, my lands. Something's going on. It's doubled already. It doubled that quickly. 35 people. We only had two. Now we've got six people. I go back to the next. We got seven. We got eight. Oh, man. It's a pandemic. Guys, watch out. Blindness taking over. Wow. We got to stop it. All I did was count further down the rows. You wearing glasses. You already wearing them. I was doing the count, right? Blindness isn't taking over, right? We got corrective lenses on. But I can present that in such a way to scare you to death. If I kept on, Some of you guys might run out of the door. Man, there's blindness in there. I'm not going around them people. Amen? Right? But that is one thing that's taking place in our country today, is that they're testing more people. Right. It's already been there. Recovery factor is 99%. And I did hear one station come out this year, this week, about how many thousands of people have recovered. Amen. But it's a fear. They want fear. And now, folks, I'm not saying throw caution out the window. But the fear factor. How do we take the teeth out of the fear? God's Word. God's Word. I'm going to go to a familiar text again today that we've been in. You all been in there before. I got two of them I'm going to share. But first one I'm going to share with you is in Hebrew, chapter 4. And what God wants to do, He wants to build up your confidence in Him. He's not saying to throw caution out the wind. Land's sakes, if you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says bridge out 1 mile, turn around, okay? You know, when He says, hey, listen, I got you covered, you know, I got your back, okay? Well, He's still saying turn around, okay? To press that gas pedal down, say, I'm going to jump that gully because God's with me. Chances are you're going to go down the tubes, okay? So don't throw caution out the window. But He says here in the 12th verse of Hebrew 4, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, we can spend probably 3 years just preaching that one verse there. Man, it covers a lot of things. It's awesome. But what He says here is that His Word is alive. His Word is alive and living and active than a two-edged sword. His Word is alive. Now, how do we put life to His Word? By speaking it out. By speaking it out. As a born-again Christian, with the Spirit of God living in you, speaking His Word out, we give teeth to His Word. Amen? So, if you turn on one of the TV stations, and it's talking about, oh, COVID-19 is multiplying, this isn't going to work, we're going to need this shot. And then you turn to another station, and you keep hearing it. What's going to happen to you? You're going to be fearful, right? It's going to build up fear, okay? So, if we take the Word of God, and we stand on it. Speak it out. It'd be like the antidote to it. Okay? The spoken word of God will bring a peace into your life. And when you speak it out, you hear it. Most of us probably listen to our TVs and radios, right? Now, somebody might have to read it. What do you call it? Caption or something like that? Closed caption, okay? But the spoken word is coming into your life, and we're not careful, it's causing fear to take place. So when we speak the word of God out, it is designed to bring strength to you and bring faith. You know, we're going to turn over to Psalms 91 in a second, but I want you to look at Romans 10:17. It's pretty close to where you're at. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or by the Word of Christ. Faith comes. May I say confidence comes. Peace comes. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So what we need to do in these times is speak and hear the Word of God more and more. knowing His word is true, knowing it's His word that takes the teeth out of the devil. Amen? That's the dentist for you. You know, he's a great physician. He's a great dentist also. Let me put it that way, okay? To take the bite out of things that no matter what we hear, we can still stand on His word and have that peace, not have that spirit of fear. Again, there's a difference between cautious and fear. Fear will cause you not to do anything. You know, and if you're here today and you're born again Christian, you're here with a commission that God has given us to go into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now we can do that. I mean, we can do that cautiously, but we're still called to do that. And if fear can shut down the church, if it can shut down your testimony, if it cause us to focus only on ourselves anymore and not your neighbor or not your enemy, then it is winning the battle, because it's not about you and me anymore. As a Christian, God said, man, there's a whole world out there dying and headed to hell. And I've called you. If you've accepted the call, you're part of my army that I need you to be doing. I've always said, I got your back. I got your back, God says, okay? If we are with Him. Got to understand what awesome times that we're living in. We look at our heroes of faith back in the Old Testament, okay? In the New Testament. We said, man, can you imagine being Abraham? Being Moses? Can you imagine standing there and watching the Red Sea part? Wow! I mean, just to have that power going through you. Oh my! But you know, in order for him to do that, you know how many people was probably, I don't know, they were destroying him, talking about him. They let me out here for nothing, huh, Moses? He brought us over here, and now you're going to leave us hanging here? We should stay back here in Egypt. At least we had food to eat. You know what I'm saying? Always about the belly, right? You know? But you know what? He had a calling on his life to deliver God's people. Make no difference whether they want to come with him or not. He had a calling on his life, and he did. So he so easily could take that staff and say, okay, I give up. I got me a little cabin in the hills I built. I'm going back home. But no. God had called him. He accepted the call. And as we sang before, though none go with me, I still will follow. Whether one person were to cross that Red Sea, when he raised that staff up, make no difference, Moses was going to cross that Red Sea. God called him to deliver his people. It's the same with us today. We're maturing in the Lord that he has called us to go forth and share his love and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can't be fearful in doing that. There's always a way we can find to do that. Amen? Now, some of the ways today are different than it was 6 months ago. But don't some of us today find us traveling different than it was 6 months ago? Some of us, maybe 6 months ago, we was driving a car. And today we're walking. But we found a way to go, right? It's a little bit different. Some of us on bicycles. Now some of us on motorcycles. And some of us can't stay on motorcycles. Right, Bob? Bob Donnelly? Hey, brother. I don't mean to embarrass you. No. But we can always find that way. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to check yourself. Then, one, as we were saying earlier, allow Him to refresh that spirit within you. Because, man, a lot of us have been cast down lately. I mean, the world has been sitting on your shoulders, right? I mean, it just sat there. Before we knew it, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you woke up one day probably like, you had this great weight on you. And that joy, that what you're used to wasn't there anymore. And so you've been struggling, but you haven't been giving up. You know what I'm saying? Because that peace that we settled in, sometimes that peace that we have was more with our environment and not with our relationship. You know? And now the relationship with the Lord is growing. You realize, man, He is all I need. All this other stuff, we can see how quickly all this other stuff can be gone. But man, the joy of the Lord lasts forever and ever, and that's what we focus on. But to take the teeth out of the devil, turn to Psalms 91. Very familiar, and I know my wife and I, we speak this every day. Now, these are not magical words. This is a covenant that God has with you. Think of that. This is God's covenant to you to build your strength, to give you confidence. That no matter what's going on in the world, He says, I got your back. But the very first part of Psalms 91, and I know some of you here throughout the weeks, we sent home with you two or three different translations of Psalms 91. One was New American Standard, I think one was King James, one was the Passion Translation. And so, this one here right now I have is the New American Standard. But from the very first verse in Psalms 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to stop right there. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. If I translate that, he who is following Jesus Christ, he who is born again, he who is a child of God, is covered by Him. That's the number one thing. Number one, this is His covenant, this is His word with us. So that I can bring you a great peace, or it might bring you great fear. Oh man, I am not covered by Him. I am not hanging out with Him. Hey, the good news is, today's a good day to start. The good day to start. So when He tells me, hey listen, you hang out with me, again I'm translating myself, you stay with me, I got you covered, okay? Now, I don't hear anybody else telling me that. I hear some people say, hey listen, you hang out with me as long as I like you, I got you covered, I'll help you, I'll stay with you. But the minute you do something I don't like, I'm going bye-bye. Preaching to the choir on that one? Amen, amen. Hey, long my wife makes me cookies, I like her, but she makes me some of that rice pudding stuff, a healthy stuff, I don't want that stuff, you know? But I still stay with you, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Yep. And today we have our summer style show with Kenny. Love you, brother. Jesus says for us we should always brighten the room, man. And I'm dying, you're doing it.
Sure. You know,
amen, brother. Probably somebody out there on a four-wheeler, right, brother? Yes. But again, verse 1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Does your word say that? Let's say it again. Verse 2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Okay? I trust. Now, when we say that, are we committed to that? I mean, don't answer out loud, but this is a focal point, a thinking point. Do I really trust God? Do I really trust what His Word says? Do I really believe when He says something? I'm sorry. There was a squirrel climbing a tree up there and took my attention that quick. But do we really trust Him? Think of that. If we truly trust God, are we following what His Word says? Amen? So if you say yes, awesome, we go to the next verse. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Oh, so He's saying this, man, you trusting me? You're following me? You're under my wings, man. I have got your back. I'll deliver you from the snares of the trapper, the tricks of the enemy. I've got you. And from the deadly pestilence. Amen? That's God's word to you. Now, did He just take maybe some teeth out of a dog? Does He say, I got you? Wow. That's God. I mean, this is things that you dwell on. You speak it out over and over again. Not that they're magic words like Ryan was sharing the other night. They're not magic. This is your salutation, your declaration. This is your agreement God has with you. And when you speak it out, when you hear that stuff on the TV, say, I understand, it might be bad, but you know, my God has got me covered, okay? Again, not saying you throw caution to the wind. Amen? I mean, if I'm sitting here today, I said, man, we've got a fight going out in the streets. There's shooting machine guns, all kind of stuff. And he said, that's all right. I'm under the wings of my God. And you walk outside, chances are you're going to get shot. Okay? You use caution, but you stand. Now, I'm not saying that God might call one of you out to go out there and do something. We go. So again, not throwing caution to the wind, but God says, he who lacks wisdom, acts of it. He'll give it to you. Now right now, when we look at just the United States situation, how many of us can tell that something's not quite right? How many of us can look right now and say, why is everything coming around? Well, we need to shut the churches down. We need these gatherings. I mean, they're going to end up trying to blame us for COVID-19. You understand that, don't you? Okay. They've already said part of the problem is because churches, you guys open your mouth up when you praise the Lord. That when you're, I love you, Lord, poof, man, you're spitting out this stuff from, it goes farther than 6 feet. Did you understand? You see, and so we need God's wisdom. Okay, show me, God. Give me that discernment. You know, how far do you go with caution, and how much of it is trying to muzzle me? You know, and it'll show you insight. Now, also, I say that every one of us, we know our bodies. We know what we can and cannot do. Amen. So, have God give us wisdom. What can I do? It's no difference. Who was I talking about? Oh, I ran a buddy of mine yesterday. He was comparing aches and pains at Bueller's. Now, we haven't seen each other for years and years. And he said, yeah, I'm just telling you. He's been retired. And he says, I'm just trying to decide, man, what I can do and can't do. I said, I'll tell you what, your body will tell you what you can't do anymore, you know. Your mind will say, do it. So we need to listen to our bodies. Amen? Make sure you understand that part. And verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a protector. Wow. Again, it's covenant with us. You will not be afraid, in verse 5, of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. He's kind of covering all the bases, right? But we know that we trust God, and He wants the best for us as we serve Him. Man, we don't have to be paralyzed. We don't have to be fearful anymore. He says, 1,000, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. So, okay, I know what's going on. I see what's happening. But God, I've got your word. Or I trust in you. So I don't have that fear factor. I don't have to have that. They come out tomorrow. Listen, I need everybody to get shocked. And I need you all to stay in your house for 24 hours. This thing is really blown out of proportion. You know what you're going to do? Probably stay in your house 24 hours. But we don't have to be fearful for doing it. Understand what I'm saying? Let's say we'll go out and check Marty's today for dinner, okay? And you go out 541, the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, Fred. I say Fred's on patrol, put you back in uniform for a minute, okay? It's 55 miles per hour, and here comes Stella down the highway at 90 miles an hour. Oh! What's going to happen, Stella? Well, I probably would do a lot of talking. You're going to get a ticket. You know what I'm saying? You don't throw caution to the wind. You are 55 mile per hour. Why? There's curves on that road out there and stuff. So, yes. Now, if that sign says speed limit 60 mile per hour, but all Christians go 30, now, is that fair? There's something wrong with that, right? Amen. So, again, give them discernment, give them wisdom. But not being fearful. If I'm going down the highway 55 miles per hour, Fred's sitting there running radar, I wave at him, have a good day, officer. I have no fear. I'm not be scared about nothing. God went out to check him already, have a big old steak. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And amen. Now, but if I'm coming down past Fred at 50 miles per hour, but I have their driver's license. Now I got a fear because he might not know it, but I know it. Now I might get past him this time, but look how fearful, look how jittery I'm going to be because I am not complying with the law. So when we step outside the Word of God, we might become jittery and fearful. We know we're not doing the right thing. And praise God that you know that because that's God speaking to you. Hey, come on back, you know.
I got pulled
last night.
I didn't turn my lights on at the gas station. And they said, oh, here, go home.
Well, didn't you? Well, I think it was House Bill 481. It made it mandatory. All women drivers turn your headlights on and blow the horn going down the highway. Now, would that be fair?
I knew I wasn't doing it.
Yeah. Now, would that be a fair law? No, it would not. We recognize that. Mm-mm. But 1,000 may fall on one side, 10,000 at your right hand, but shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, again, right now, for some people, you see them escalating. They're wicked, have nothing to do with God, and you see they're increasing, and you see that maybe their popularity is exploding, and they got all these riches, and they got everything you can think of they have. But he says, you're going to look on, and you're going to see the wicked being paid for their wickedness. This is only a season, guys. It's only a season that's going through. But our season, if I may say, as Christians, goes on for eternity because our relationship with Jesus Christ will not be separated by any virus, by any government rulings. Yeah, we'll go through some things. We'll go through some trials. But the thing is, we'll go through it. And we'll do it victorious. He says that, for you have made, in verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High is your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. That's his promise to his children. Trust in the Lord. And I know, but again, trust God. Don't let fear take you over. Again, caution, wisdom, but not fearful. 10 years ago, I went to surgery. Surgery lasts, what, 6 hours, 7 hours, Mom? I slept through it, I don't know. Now, I knew several days in advance I had surgery coming up. I knew they had a couple, three specialists coming in. No fear. God was with me. I had no fear. I sat there before we go in, they talked to you, you get all these chemists and surgeons and stuff. Yeah, you know, I'm doing good. You know, you're telling jokes and stuff. Yeah, I had no fear. You know, I mean, seriously, the worst thing that happened to me, I'd wake up in heaven. And so that's that God's peace that he has with us. And that's what he'll bring us through this thing here today. The way the world is today, focus on him, do what we can, serve him, and not let fear shut us down when it comes to serving him. In verse 11, he says, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Wow. Hey, I got your back again. This is promised to us. Now, we're going to make sure we don't do, I call it this way, make sure you don't leave your angels at home when you leave. You know? They're with you always, but I'm saying we can shut them out. Years ago, our son Vincent did a skit. And it was how he loved Jesus, how he followed him. He was a youngster at that time. And he didn't really go out on the town with his buddies. And of course, the Lord said, I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. I've got your back. Well, as the guys were pretending to get into the car, here comes Jesus with him. And Jesus put, or Vincent put Jesus in the trunk. He was with them, but he was restricted. Yeah, because that was just a, to show that we, Christ wants to be, like you said earlier, in us, around us, behind us, on top of us. He wants to, he's there all the time, but we can, what he can do for us by not paying attention to him and yielding to him. In verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Verse 13, you will tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent. You will trample down. Because you love me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. Because back earlier, I believe you said that during praise and worship. Jesus! And I love what you said. When she says, hey, listen, he's answering you before you even speak. And you know why he can do that? Because he knows your heart before you say it. Then we go back when Jesus says, hey, listen, he says you ain't commit adultery. But I tell you, even when you lust, so he's in your mind, he's in your heart right then. So when you have a need, God knows it. He already wants to meet that need before you even open your mouth up. And sometimes, do you ever cry and pray? You know how the words, your tears just come out? God sees that. He hears you. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Verse 15, he will call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Wow. That's just Psalms 91. That's just one place where God speaks to us and shows us what he has for us. And so when we get in the habit, truly, of speaking that out, again, it's not, oh man, I got to say this, I got to get to work, well, let me read this real quick. No. It's speaking it out. And then as time goes on, you won't even need to read it, if I put it that way. You just speak, hey, Lord, I know you got your angels around me today. You're my refuge. You're my protector. I'm not worrying what any tricks the enemy has today. Whatever demonic forces has against me today, then my angels, God's already got me covered on that. As I follow him, as I listen to him, as I serve him, as I love him. That's his deal with us. I mean, isn't that awesome? I haven't seen that deal yet through our government. No. Again, it's just God wants us to have confidence in his word. He doesn't want his people to be fearful. He wants us to be strong, loving, and kind. He wants us to remember, continue to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who are persecuting us. Pray for those who are trying to shut down the church. And pray for their hearts to be open to see the truth. Now, we know the church isn't a building. It's us. Amen? But boy, I tell you what, corporate gathering is so important. I truly believe that. And we have a constitutional right to do that. And so we'll stand on that right and support those who support us in that right. So again, saying that, we live in an awesome country. Make sure you all register to vote. Make sure you seek out godly men and women who honor our God. Not actually pick out the perfect candidate, because there's no perfect candidates, because I'm not running. But find one that honors God the best that he can. And I tell you, through prayer, through fasting, if you're not sure who to, God will reveal the hearts of men to you and women. 2 Timothy 1:7. Verse 7, Brother Paul has a documented letter he wrote to Timothy. He says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. There's that Holy Spirit again. Now, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Yours might read a little bit different. It says that God will never give us the spirit of fear. Some of yours read that way. But for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So he's given us the Holy Spirit, and it brings us power, brings us self-control, it brings us love. And part of the Holy Spirit Jesus said he is a great counselor, the comforter, and the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance all that Jesus has spoken. All the words, and Jesus is a living word, so he'll bring back the scriptures to you, and that will bring you strength, it'll bring you peace, it'll bring you comfort, and it'll cast down that spirit of fear. When whatever hits the headlines tomorrow, whatever it might be, don't make any difference. The Holy Spirit is designed to bring back to you God's Word that fear will not overtake you. Because God's got you. He has you in His palm of His hand. He watches over you. Hey, brother. And God doesn't turn His back on you just because you messed up. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you wake up, man, you're scared to death. God's still there with you. Okay? He doesn't want you to be wrapped up in that spirit of fear, because when you get fearful, you get nervous, anxiety kicks in, depression come along. I mean, it's like a whole party of take me downs, or however you want to say it, you know? And God knows that that happens to us. So He wants this word deposited in your life. That word, when something comes at you that's detrimental to you, that the Word of God will jump right there, be like defending you. Like right now, if Daryl jump up and smack me, I'll get you. My son will be on top of you before you get across that altar there. I know him, okay? Well, see, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. It wants to react. It wants to. And how it reacts is through His Word. He'll bring that Word back to you, whatever it might be, and defend you from the enemy getting inside your head. Because you know, when he gets in here, it's kind of hard to get him out, ain't it? To a degree, he gets in there. He sneaks into all of us, you know? But that word spoken will get rid of him. And in fact, it'll get to the point where he won't be able to get in here, because as you speak and hear that word of God, trust in him, he's going to leave you somewhere else, you know? It's like having a relative show up for dinner, okay? And if you feed them today, the next day they come back, you feed them again. If you don't want to feed them more, shut the door and pull the curtain shut, okay? They'll go to another relative's house for a while, okay? But the minute you open that, if you open that curtain, they're like, oh, I'm here. You're going to have to feed them again. And in the same way with Satan, he'll come around, and we entertain him at all. If we give him just a little acknowledgement of hey, maybe he'll be on that front porch and he'll be knocking on that door, and he'll be making you miserable. But the minute you either close down shop or open the door and say, get out of here! He's gone. You have that peace, you know? He'll come back around and knock some more. But that's why the Word of God is given to us, to counteract the things of Jesus, of devil, with the Word of Jesus. One last thing I want to share with you, and I'll have copies of this, but taking the bite, the teeth out of the dog, as I call it, is doing it before the dog has a chance to bite you. Now, how many of us have ever been sick, ill? We're not claiming it, but who ever been that way? Anybody go to the doctor? Yeah, okay. Anybody get a report from the doctor? And next thing you know, you got your Bible and you're searching through it and you're trying to find the scriptures on healing. Nobody? I have. I got sick 10 years ago. I had every Bible I had open in the house. I had PTL, PTR, PTs. I even had the rural RFD channel on. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew in here, I didn't know it all years ago, but I knew in there was deliverance. I knew there was healing in the Word of God. Okay? If I knew now what I knew then, it could have been a lot different. Confessing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God out. Your body listens to what you say. Do you know that? It might not do what you say, but it listens to what you say. Okay? And with the Spirit of the living God within you, when you speak the Word of God, I truly believe it's like when God speaks to Himself. That your body was created in the image of God. It's alive. It's a bunch of little molecules coming together. And when you speak the Word out, it causes your body to react to it. Now again, to go back to you turn on your TV set, channel after channel, how quickly does it start bringing fear into your life, or can, okay? What's the best way of not having that? Probably shut it off, right? Amen? I'm not saying run from news, but enough is enough. Okay? Shut down that. Well, if that can bring fear onto you, what do you think the Word of God can do to your body? Think of that. Think for a moment how you react when anything derogatory comes your way. Either you're going to get defensive, or you start getting depressed, anxiety starts taking over, I don't even know what I'm going to live for, even thoughts of suicide, all this stuff can come into your mind. So that's what that spoken word there can do. How much more can the spoken word of God, which comes to give you life and give it more abundantly, can do for you? So it's called a confession of your faith. And what I have here, I put together, let me get some copy, somebody wants one. But again, a statement, and again, I shared this with Penny a while back. I have this on my phone. I got different versions of it, but speaking out God's word for my body, for myself. And it's not very long, so I'll share it with you. But again, along with Psalms 91, this is a word here. And again, these are not magic words. This is what I believe. This is what the Word of God says. So, if you don't believe this, get it, read it anyway, and start let it speak to you. Going back where he says, trust me. So this is God's Word brought together into a confession, and I trust Him. I don't understand God completely, but I trust in Him. And it says, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven and free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. I am free from unforgiveness and strife. My declaration, I am free from sin, born again, been forgiven under the blood of Jesus. I forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. For the love of God is shed in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Jesus bore my sins in His body on the tree. Therefore, I am dead unto sin and alive unto God. By His stripes, I am healed and made whole. Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pain. Therefore, I give no place to sickness or pain, for God sent His word and healed me. Understand what I'm saying here? I give no place. I'm not denying it might be there, but it's an intruder. I don't give a place. I don't claim it. Okay? Again, speaking out the Word of God. We're not here to deny anything. We're here speaking the Word of God. And I don't have to spend my time all day long complaining about what my body is like. Because it's the way it is, right? I speak how I want it to be through God's Word. Father, because of your Word, I am an overcomer. I overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You have given me abundant life. I receive that life through your word. It flows to every organ of my body, bringing healing and health. His word, a living word. Jesus said, I'm like a spring of living waters. And I speak that word out. It's bringing health. And I'll go down the highway and I'll talk to my organs. You talk who you want to, I'll do. I'll say, listen, the heart, you pump blood today. And you vein, you carry oxygen to my brain. I have a sound mind. And livers, my kidneys, my lungs, you line up the word of God. By His stripes, you are made whole. My feet, my ankles, my skin, in the name of Jesus, my brain, I'll have a sound mind. That's what His word says, right? I trust Him. I'm speaking out. Hey, body, line up to this. Again, how quickly can somebody come in here right now and say, boy, Jeff, you don't look very good today. Are you sick? Man, and pretty soon you're going to start feeling like, well, I'm not sure. I thought it was pretty decent. But I can start changing your demeanor just by a few words. But how much more? I say, man, God loves you, Jeff. Man, Jesus died on the cross for you, man. How awesome Jesus is. Forgive us of our sins. Woo! Boy, just make you happy. You know what I'm saying? Speaking His word out. So, Heavenly Father, I attend to your word. I incline my ears to your sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Otherwise, hey, I read your word, it's around me all the time. Now, I might not be carrying a Bible and mowing my grass, but I'm concentrating on the Lord. Oh, God, look at the awesome trees. You made this for me. Oh, the birds. You know, allowing His Word to be fixed on us. Letting nothing else take away from the Word. I'll put it that way. We all have lives, amen? Just to a degree we have a life, okay? But having that life focused around the Lord. Hey, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something, it's going to be what I just said earlier. Glorify the Lord. And if it's not glorifying the Lord, if I'm bringing something against Him, then I want to change. I want to change my routine. As God was with Moses, so is He with me. My eyes are not dim, neither are my natural forces reduced. Thus are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. No evil shall come upon me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling place. For you have given your angels charge over me, they keep me in all my ways. And my pathway is life, healing, and health. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. Sickness, get out of here. You're not having, I don't care what kind of name they put to it. No, I am healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. I am redeemed from the curse, and the healing is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell of my body, restoring life and health in every cell of my body. I present my body to God, for it is the temple of the living God. Key word. I present my body to God, for it's the temple of the living God. God dwells in me, and His life saturates my spirit. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we can forget who lives in us, right? And a lot of times He's living in us, and He's speaking to us, but our mouth is so loud, we can't hear Him speaking. No confessions today. I do confessions on Saturdays. Okay. Almost done. God dwells in me and saturates my spirit, my soul, my body. I am filled with the fullness of God daily. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I make a demand on my body to release right chemicals. And I say that because our bodies are made out of chemicals. Amen? And sometimes they don't produce the right ones. So I taught my body, hey, you're going to make the right chemicals. Pancreas, you're going to work. Okay? I speak to that. If you're here today and you can have a chemical imbalance, maybe you have one and you're taking medicine for it, continue to take the medicine, but also profess God's word. Amen. I mean, I always, when I take medication, I'll swallow it, and I'll say, down the lips and through the tongue, watch out, belly, here it comes, by the stripes on Jesus' back, I am healed. Amen. Declare it. My body is in perfect chemical balance. My pancreas secretes proper amounts of insulin for life and health. Heavenly Father, through your word, you have imparted your life to me. The life restores my body with every breath I breathe and every life I speak in faith, and every word I speak in faith. That which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name. Like I said, every bad cell, get out. Every good cell, you're going to multiply. Amen. I declare, as stated in 1 Peter 2:24, that Jesus Himself bore my sins in His body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we are healed. Now that is a declaration, confession of your faith that you can put out there. You speak it every day to build your confidence. If this is true, just to remind you, these are not magic words. What I mean by that is, well, I'm going to read this today and think that's all there is to it. Now, this is a reminder to us, speaking to our body, what God has promised through the covenants through the blood of Jesus Christ, the spoken word. And folks, that's how we defeat fear. That's how we defeat anxiety. That's how we'll defeat depression. That's how we defeat suicidal thoughts. That's how we defeat rejection. By His word and knowing how much He loves and cares for us and trusting in Him. You know, so as we line up with His word, man, as we follow Him, Jesus said, you love me and keep my commandments, man, we have nothing to fear. And today, maybe you're sitting here, man, I didn't realize all that. Yeah, I've been doing this pretty good, but I'm still doing this and this. Hey, the good news is, hey, if God brought it to light today, repent from it. I'm done with it. Give it to God. Let His Word fill that little void up. Whatever it is, a lot of times we hang on to things just because we're familiar with it. And right now, maybe your whole life is falling apart. And yeah, but this thing here, I know, but it's the last thing I've got of comfort that's not of God. It's tough, but give it to Him. Hey, God, fill this void. Fill my void. And He fills that through His Word. And God will give you a life greater than you ever imagined. That thing you're hanging on to is nothing. It's brought to you from Satan, come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to keep you hanging on to this one thing. And as the word came out earlier, as Ryan shared God's word, spoke it out when he says, man, pull it back. Get rid of it. Let me give you a new spirit. And God, He wants to do that. Remember that. He wants to. Amen? Amen. God is good. So I pray that the word today encourage you. I hope that it's... I hope it helped. That's what the word of God is given to us for. Okay. Strengthen me. Make me more in your image. Give me power of the enemy. But most of all, let me serve you and do what you called me to do. Amen? Amen. Well, I pray you have a good week. Wherever you go, the Lord is with you. And may I say, may the Lord go with you. May His peace be with you. May we continue to love one another and love the world. Not the things in the world, but to love the world. Amen? Amen. God is good.